Hello and welcome to the Marketing Showcase podcast. Today coming to you live from Edgbaston in Birmingham. I'm James Marriott, the founder of Sound Media, where we help brands to get in on the podcast action to create conversational marketing. First guest of the day, I'll let you do the honours and introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Michael Younger and I'm the head of marketing at Treetops Hospice based over in Derbyshire.
And do you want to give, before we do anything else, give a quick plug for the charity that you work for?
Yep, so Treetops Hospice, we are the only hospice for central and southern Derbyshire, looking after adults with a life-limiting condition. Unlike a lot of hospices, we're not a bedded unit. We actually do all our care out in the community in the family's home. And we offer a wide range of care, including bereavement counselling and kind of hospice at home nurses.
It does sound like a brilliant organisation. I kind of wish like we could just talk about that for the next 10 minutes, but we unfortunately have to stray into the dark and dirty world of marketing, because that's what this podcast is all about. So we're kind of focusing in on the subject of authenticity in marketing. First of all then, so when we say authenticity, what does that mean to you?
So for me, it's not one of these buzzwords, and I've seen it around a lot, especially this year, like authenticity is a buzzword, it's going to go, and you know, it's not that important. But for me, it is. It's all about being honest and using real people, their real stories. For me, I've worked in marketing for a long time, but I can't tell the stories that our families can tell, that our nurses can tell, their lived experience, and that is what authenticity is for myself. It's the real people telling their real stories.
Do you think of it as being like a new concept? And what I mean by it's obviously not a new concept, but it feels like the last kind of 2-3 years, maybe kind of a post-COVID thing, that you said it's not a buzzword, but there does seem to be a bit of a buzz around authenticity that wasn't quite there before.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I think it is kind of that people have jumped on it, and I don't know if that's almost like fake authenticity.
Right.
You get people that are kind of portraying themselves in a certain way, you know, celebrity culture. Culture is a prime example of it, but actually, you know, those who stand out, you know, your Catherine Ryan's on her social media, she, you know, warts and all, makeup off and everything, you see her on TV, you know, looking all glam, but actually off screen and on her own social media, on her own podcast, she is warts and all, tells it how it is, and is that, or is that behind the scene content that you like? And I think that's where maybe that newness is coming from it, and maybe the concerns, I think, around people saying, actually, it is just a fad and it will disappear.
What do you see as being the differences between authenticity and personal brand? Because there seems to be quite a lot of overlap between those two things. And I guess I'm straying a little bit into, I guess, LinkedIn, really, in terms of how that works. And, I mean, there's about 10 follow-up questions in terms of LinkedIn and what works and what doesn't what's kind of good for that. But, yeah, so how do you see differences between authenticity and personal brand, or is it kind of one and the same?
I think they are one and the same, and they should be. It should be like that hand-in-glove thing, you know. When it comes to LinkedIn, I think people maybe take a step back from being their true authentic selves, especially if they are working for an organisation, so they've still got kind of, well, I'm representing that organisation. For me, on my LinkedIn, I like to say it as it is. I'll be honest, you know, I will include humour in there because I'm a big fan of humour and puns. You know, I'll ask questions and I'll have hands up going, I don't know this. Perhaps I should, my role, but I don't. And actually, can anyone help? And for me, that is that being authentic, not trying to pretend that I know everything. And yeah, LinkedIn's a beast by itself.
It really is, isn't it? And it's so strange because you do get people that you just feel they're a bit fake.
Yeah.
And immediately you think, I'm not sure I trust this person. I'm not sure they're telling the truth. And what I find quite strange, I made a decision years ago that I was just going to be quite honest on LinkedIn. And that sometimes means that I'll post about things that go wrong, or post about, like, you know, a client has left me or something that could be deemed as being negative. And actually the feedback and the engagement and ultimately the positivity that comes from those posts far outweighs the stuff that's like, aren't I brilliant and I'm so good at doing what I do? And everyone's just like, yeah, whatever. But actually the stuff where you do strip it back a little bit and kind of, you know, expose yourself warts and all, for me, tends to be the stuff that people actually really resonate with.
I fully agree. I think, you know, learning from those mistakes and being, you know, not being afraid to make mistakes, but also going, actually, hands up, I made a mistake, but this is what I've learned from it. That's the way you can then fall into that trap. And you see it especially with email marketing, where you get those oops, we sent the wrong code, or oops, we sent the wrong email thing. They get sent a lot because actually the data proves that people will open that going, oh, hang on, you've made a mistake. And some people then kind of, and I have seen it where brands have gone, we know that works as a tactic, we're going to include that, almost flipping it back to the fake side. But no, being honest and open, going, actually, yeah, this didn't work, or I lost this client, or we tried this, and actually, we put all of us into it, but this is what happened, it didn't work, but this is what we've learned. It's too easy to go, we've done this amazing thing, look at how great we are.
Yep.
When actually, behind the scenes, you've probably plowed a lot of money into it, or it's taken, you know, a lot longer than you wanted, but you're showing just the highs. People learn from the lows.
Interestingly, strangely, I think, you know, when I do post a kind of, this is a great new thing that I'm working on post, I think it probably does get a little bit more traction from people because they respect the fact that I also post the, I really balls this up the other week post. Whereas if it's always just like, everything's brilliant, then I think it can kind of fly under the radar a little bit. I didn't want to turn this into a LinkedIn podcast episode as such. And I think this question is slightly LinkedIn, but I want to kind of try and open it up a little bit. So the stuff that we've talked about here, the thing with authenticity, the thing with personal brand is it's very dependent on the person, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. LinkedIn is as a platform, I think it's probably tried a few different ways of moving away from this idea of it's very much about the person, but it still kind of is. You know, company business pages on LinkedIn, they're there, but they're not really what people sort of engage with.
They're almost second or third thoughts, I'd say.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I guess my question or the quandary that I want to present to you now is this idea of, all right, well, you know, if you are a business or any kind of organization, the organization that you're involved in or whatever size, shape or whatever of business or organization we're talking about, and you've got a team that sit down to talk about marketing strategy and drawing up a marketing plan, people's individual personal brand is a very difficult thing to kind of collate under that. So how do you see this working from kind of like that wider business perspective?
I think for me, and the way I've worked in the last few roles, actually marketing doesn't just sit with the marketing team. Actually, everyone is part of the marketing team, so everyone's got that kind of that input. So I'd say actually getting the input from various stakeholders, you know, top down, bottom up, and actually asking people what do they see as the organisation, what is the organisation. Just listen to the great talk by Webbox, and they'll say actually a lot of it is based on personal preference, but user data and kind of research. And for us, we're all about asking our supporters what do they want, what do they think of us, and then we can base what we're cutting out based on that. Whether it's on LinkedIn, TikTok, Facebook, email marketing, or the content that we're putting on our own website.
One of the things that I feel, I'm going to kind of sum up the sector as charities.
Yeah.
But one thing that I think charities do very well in their marketing is they're very good at telling stories, and they're very good at kind of drawing on stories of people that have been involved or been helped by that charity. And tend to tell stories that are very engaging.
Yes.
In the way that sometimes businesses are not particularly good at doing and tend to be a little bit more kind of clinical and cutthroat in their marketing. What do you think business can learn from the charity sector when it comes to marketing?
The first thing that actually springs to mind when you say that is being human, and actually you're not a business. The one business that springs to mind is Innocent in their marketing. I think actually last time I spoke to you, I mentioned them as well.
Yeah.
But they don't sell their products, and they don't need to. They use that human interest, that fun element, and to make it actually about the person. People connect with people. You know, here's my charity's use all these stories, and yes, there's the heartstring pulls. Friday's prime example that's been children in need. And it's all like, you know, the heartstring emotion from that. But it works because people connect with that. People put themselves in that position. And for the charity sector, we're not try and solve a problem there and then. We're almost giving hope, and actually, you know, there is a positive outcome at the end of it. You know, don't get me wrong, there were sad times in the sector, especially in the hospice. You know, death and dying is a daily occurrence, but we're about making that death a good death. Yeah. And making it what that person wants, and that's by speaking to the person and using like stories and what we heard and like memory building, not just thinking, right, what is the bottom line, which is finance. It is hugely important in the sector.
Yeah.
You know, we can't hide from that.
Yeah.
But right, the clinical side of it, especially for ourselves, is what counts. And it's that human interest.
I love that. I've got one more thing that I want to ask you. Just before that, can I congratulate you? Because this is, I think, is the first time that we've got to the very end of an episode of this podcast without the phrase AI coming up, ever. But it might do in the last one, because the final thing that I want to ask you is, what's the one thing that you would really like to see people stop when it comes to marketing?
Oh, really like to stop. There's a few things, and actually I think the one that instantly jumps to mind, and it's something that's came about over the last couple of years, is this jumping on the trends.
Yep.
Just because they're there, and actually, you know, are the trends relevant? There's one I saw the other day that the Peter Crouch podcast have done, and then I saw Curry's did it, and I'm like, no, Curry's, it doesn't work for you, because actually I'm not going to discuss what it was because it's not overly appropriate, but right, no, don't jump on that trend, and actually make sure the trend is relevant for what you want. Definitely the big one last year of the millennial vote this, or the Gen Z vote this for us, and some people actually leaned into that really well, but then it's forced, and I think actually that then moves away from the authenticity of your organisation.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that neatly done, full circle, back to where we started. I love that. Michael, it's been brilliant, thank you. I'd happily carry on chatting to you for the rest of the next 3.5 hours, but sadly we can't. But thank you for your time. Just a final plug, if anyone wants to find out more about the hospice, what's the best way for them to do that?
It is go online to treetops.org.uk, follow us on Facebook, Instagram and TikTok, over at Treetops Hospice.
Thank you very much, it's been a pleasure.
Perfect, thanks very much.
Hope you enjoyed this episode of the podcast. Thank you for joining us. Please check the feed for loads more content from Marketing Showcase events. You can find out more about Marketing Showcase at mktgshowcase.co.uk. There's details about the upcoming events on there, along with a ton of useful blogs, details about exhibitors, links to social channels and more. I run my own business, by the way, Sound Media, helping brands to incorporate podcasting into their marketing output. If you'd like to get to know me a little bit better, LinkedIn is the place for that. Search for James Marriott and look for the headphones emoji. That's me. We'll be back soon with more insights from Marketing Showcase. See you then.